Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each session I interview an expert in health and well-being for their tips for managing stress. And today I'm joined by Trish Peed from House in Order. And we're doing something a little different today. We're taking a look at an probably unexpected area of managing your stress and your health and your well-being. So, Trish, you trained with the house doctor. Tell us about what you do and about what that was like and how you got into it and your story.
Okay. Some of you, depends on how old you are, may remember Anne Maurice from The House Doctor. She was quite a formidable character, an American lady that would go in and tell people exactly what she thought about their cluttered homes that were ready or not ready for sale. So I trained with her, and what we do is we prepare properties so that they look at their absolute best when it comes to selling them or renting them. So what we do is we go in and have a look at the decor. But often the biggest problem that we come across, or the biggest thing that needs changing in most homes, is clutter. Everybody has clutter. They might see it as their personal possessions that they love and cherish, and they might have 100 pictures of cats and 100 ornaments of cats and fluffy cats, and they love their cats. But unfortunately, when you go into a room and you're trying to buy that house and all you can see is cats, it can often put you off the sale of that property. So we go in and often sort out the clutter. So that's one of the biggest hurdles that we find with selling your house.
And so given that this is a show which is about managing stress and managing busy lives, how much is that busyness a factor in building up your clutter? Or how, you know, what are the emotional factors really in how people build up clutter?
If your mind, if your home is cluttered and you're surrounded by clutter, it's like anywhere. If you go into a forest and you've got lots of trees in front of you and you can't see the wood for the trees, you know, you can't find your way. If there's a path that's there laid out for you and you can walk that path, the walk becomes much easier and everything sort of, the path leads on. And it's the same with your mind and your surroundings. If you're just covered by and surrounded by lots of things, often you can't even see those things. So the things that you love, you actually don't even notice. So maybe you have an ornament that you love, or a picture or a photograph, but if you've got so many of them around you, you actually don't even get to notice that one. So it's just a case of, if you've got those things around you, they start coming in on you, and then also then you start to think, I really need to start tidying up in here, and that's constantly on your mind. Then you've got the pressure of, when am I going to get time to do that? I'll try and fit that in. I'll try and do this. I'll try and do that. And the more it comes in on you, the more you don't do it, the more stressed you feel. So by decluttering, even if you do it a little at a time, the feeling of well-being and the sense of calmness you get, and actually feel-good factor, if you actually just do one room, even sometimes just emptying a drawer that you keep opening and then you try and force to close, you know, and then if you actually just take that, if you've got 50 minutes, take that drawer and tip it on the bed and put it into three piles. One, that the stuff that really does need to go into that drawer. Two, other stuff that you want to keep that needs to be repositioned somewhere else. And three, a pile that really does need to go in the bin or the recycling or whatever. And that helps relieve that stress and that tension. And you get that, oh, I've just achieved something. It's immediate.
And the thing that I'd want to pick up on there, because I recognise it in lots of other areas of life, is instead of looking at the whole thing, so instead of looking at the whole house needing to be done or the whole room needing to be done, you talked about breaking it down and, you know, maybe just doing one drawer, one shelf, one cupboard, and clearing that and making that the goal for that particular day. Yep. And I know that for myself, one of the things that I did, into, because I work from home, and so I have the home office, which is also my yoga studio. And what I've done in my office is done one shelf a week. Mm-hmm. When I knew that I was sort of accruing all sorts of things that weren't helpful for me, and creating psychological clutter, basically. Yep, stopping me thinking clearly. Mm-hmm. So I just did one shelf a week, because mm-hmm. that was manageable. Yeah. And it felt very affirming, you know, and Yeah, it really felt empowering. I'm going to use that word that gets so overused, but nevertheless, it genuinely felt empowering. And it must give you a kick to help people to do this.
I love it. I think it started with my grandmother. My grandmother was a real, she was a Liverpudlian market lady who loved buying secondhand. And I do. I love secondhand goods. I think it's great. I love the recycling. I love eBay. I love auctions. I think you can get an awful lot of good things from them. But I remember my grandmother's house just being this Aladdin's cave as a child. But I think now, as I've grown up, I don't like to live in that. Although I love to go and to those places to shop, I try and selectively choose things. But yeah, I thought where I was going with this now.
We were talking about, partly we're talking about the sense of liberation that comes from creating that space, talking about the joy of the recycling, the wonderful memories of the grandma.
Yeah, well, I think she put me off being surrounded by clutter, but she taught me how to buy good secondhand things. Mm. The other thing about clutter as well is a lot of clutter, or not necessarily clutter possessions. I don't like really to call it clutter, really, because they are your things that you love. But there's a time for you to look at your things and think, what don't I see anymore? And maybe put that to one side. And it's a really good way, especially this time of year, of an income as well. It can be an income that I actually decluttered a lady's kitchen with her the other day. And she had this beautifully new fitted kitchen, which she'd filled with all of the possessions that she'd had in an old kitchen. So although she had this amazing kitchen, she still had boxes around the kitchen. And I sort of asked her, why have you got all these beautiful cupboards and you've still got all these packing boxes? And she sort of said, well, I have no room for these things. So I went through the cupboards with her and we found that she'd put away wedding presents that she'd been given 16 years ago. She didn't like them 16 years ago. She still didn't like them now, but she felt guilty about, you know, actually thinking that she could give them away or sell them or whatever. So I gave her permission to do that. So we emptied a lot of the cupboards. So all of a sudden she had this amazingly organized kitchen. Her children had a paint cupboard. Her husband had a tool cupboard. She felt liberated. And then we took all the goods that she didn't want anymore, and we put some of them on eBay, and we took them to also a charity shop, and the rest of the stuff went to a car boot sale. And the total raised was about £750. She paid my fee for the day, and then she had about £500 left over, and she bought herself a designer handbag, which she'd never had, and all the family got a treat as well. So, and she said, and actually she didn't miss any of the stuff that they got rid of.
And that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, apart from that fabulous bonus of making money out of decluttering, excellent. What I really took from that was the permission. You know, you said I gave her permission to let go of things that she was given 16 years ago. She hadn't liked at the time. She still didn't like now, but obviously felt some kind of obligation to keep.
I think if you try to declutter yourself and you have a very cluttered house, you will have two things and you'll think, will I use that again? Do I love this? And you'll often say yes, and you'll put it to one side. You don't sometimes answer truthfully because you feel guilty. A really good solution to that, if you are not going to have anybody to help you declutter, is to actually get a box. And if you know you haven't used it for 6 months to a year, put it in the box. And when that box is full, seal it up. And if in a year's time, and you actually put the date on it, if in a year's time you haven't, in fact, you can't even remember what's in that box, do not open it. Take it down to the charity shop because you haven't missed
them. You're not going to miss it.
Yeah, and it's that's one way. And you can put that box in a shed, you can put it in a loft or, you know, and it's a good way to sort of the process of relieving the guilt. If you can have somebody like myself come in, what House in Order does, we come in and we work with you, and we can sort of direct you and, you know, ask you questions to make you think, will I use it again? Am I ever going to be a size 8 again, knowing that you've been a size 14 for 2 years? Will my children use
hope eternal.
Yeah, hope eternal, but I can be a realist. Also, maybe children's toys. And the thing about children's bedrooms, that's a huge thing, because children get very bored very quickly. And if they're surrounded by all their toys, they often don't play with anything, or they might play with something for 2 minutes and open something else. If you can declutter your children's toys and get them to age, you know, an age level, and then put some away. Have your shelves, even if it does mean, you know, having a space in the loft or somewhere, and it, you know, rotate them sort of once every 3 months, if you're very organized, once a month, or even just put them on a shelf where they can't see a clothes cupboard, and tell them to use the ones on the shelves and rotate them. And that actually stimulates the children. Then children will sort of each month find a different toy they've actually had for 6 months, but each time it will be new. And they get a benefit, and so do you, because they spend a lot longer playing.
And also, I mean, I have friends who do a version of that with Christmas. Mm-hmm. So they space out when the kids actually open their Christmas presents. Yeah. So that, you know, there's something new coming. You know, every few weeks there's something new. And mm-hmm. it's a version of that rotation. So I think that's fantastic. And I'm, you know, because I work a lot with business people, I'm thinking through the way in which we can do the same with our occupation. Mm-hmm. We can do the same with our relationships, even to some extent. Yeah. We can have this feeling of duty or obligation or just habit, which doesn't allow the really good things to stand out. And, absolutely. You know, you've talked about that several times, this idea of the really prized possessions having no space to breathe. Mm-hmm. And part of what you do is you create that space. Well, the same is true in terms of, let's say, a business offering. Having too many can reduce the impact of the one or two that are really the gold standard.
Absolutely.
So, I think, you know, I really see principles that you can apply elsewhere in your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure, you know, with the wardrobe thing, isn't it? It's such an emotional thing to be able to let go, to be able to look at something and think, you know, this has been in this wardrobe for 2 years without having been worn. Mm-hmm. And really, is it time to let go? And I had a really good tip once from a stylist who said, look, if there are pieces which have sentimental value, but which, you know, you can no longer wear, there's nothing wrong with keeping a few key pieces which have sentimental value. But don't let that be an excuse to keep 90% of a wardrobe where you only wear 10%.
Yeah, the other thing to do with pieces that you're emotionally attached to is actually to cut a piece out of it. And once you've done the cut, you know, it's fine. And then you can make a patchwork quilt out of it. We've made some really nice patchwork cushions. And you don't have to be fantastic at sewing. And actually, it's great because we did it with my children's clothes when they were sort of between the age of 2 and 5. And my daughter still has it in her bedroom, and she's now 13. And she can see photographs of when she was 2 with this certain dress on, and her sister had it on before. And it actually does stimulate quite a lot of memories, and that's again another feel-good factor. And again, it relieves you of the guilt of you know sort of actually getting rid of things, because there's only so many drawers in a child's bedroom. And if you understand the concepts of feng shui, it's the space, it's the clearing, cluttering again, it's the emotional relaxation of the mind, the calmness, the able to de-stress. If you have your top of your house, which is your loft or your attic, absolutely heaving, so it looks like the ceiling is about to come through with Christmas decorations that you haven't used for maybe 5 years, because each year you change your tree, or you have games or scooters, 40 sort of suitcases you've been collecting over the last 10 years, this space becomes very, very cluttered. And it's a representation of your mind. It's the top of the house and the top of your head, obviously. So if you've got a top of your house is cluttered, it can actually feel like a top of your head is cluttered too.
And that's one of the things that I say when I'm working with people on managing stress and really learning how to relax, is the very first thing you do actually is you find a quiet, clear space. So physically clear. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how small it is. You can be in very close quarters and still create a corner of the room which has, let's say, a chair, a cushion, mm-hmm. a blanket, somewhere to light a candle, let's say. And that's actually what you do to start the mental preparation for relaxing. Mm-hmm. You create a clear space. Mm-hmm. And again, that's also something you can do bit by bit, so that you don't have to look at the whole house and think, oh, I've got it all wrong and it's mm-hmm. completely overwhelming to think about it. You can think, well, look, let's just have one space mm-hmm. for each member of the family mm-hmm. as well, because that's another thing that's in terms of the psychology of it, is it's really useful to have somewhere that each person mm-hmm. separately, individually, absolutely. Can feel very much at home. Well, it's been such a pleasure to hear from you, Trish. Tell us where people would find out more if they're interested in help with decluttering or with home staging for sale.
House in Order, we cover the whole of London and Surrey. So we have a website which you can look at, which is www.houseinorder.co.uk. It's actually house-in-order.co.uk. So you can go onto the website, you can contact me there. There's a mobile number, there's an email number, and as far as you can go onto the internet, and you can actually look, there's quite a lot of websites that will help you with decluttering tips.
Okay, fantastic. Well, it's been a real pleasure, Trish. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
And looking forward to the next Feel Good with Jo with Catherine Temple of the Lifelong Learning Company. Radio.